There is a misprint in our bulletin. The church council will be on the 29th of June. We have to give 10 days notice before church conferences, and that would not give you 10 days. So we will be meeting on the 29th. Time still the same, location still the same. This past week at annual conference, I went to the United Methodist Men's Luncheon, and I heard a statement. Statement went something like this, that when you reach the man, the father of the household, the potential to reaching them for the cause of the kingdom of God is 90-something percent. It's astronomical. When you reach the mother, it's over 20-something percent. And I remember visiting at a growing church one time, and a minister said to me, he said, "We believe that if you get the children, you get the family." And so they would go out in buses and bus in children and all that. But they didn't get the support when they got the children. So the crux of ministry was resting on the shoulders of a few. I say that this morning to remind us as men of the awesome responsibilities that we have in order to nurture our family in the right way and for the cause of the kingdom. And with that, I would like to see the hand of how many that are visiting today because you're with your father. Are there any worshiping today? Just raise your hand. See some? 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6. Yeah. Won't you make them welcome? Thank you. It's an awesome responsibility, and I remember hearing Billy Graham years ago when I was thinking about whether that I even in this world of ours wanted to endeavor to raise a family, and he said this, "It's a tremendous privilege to raise a godly family in a sinful world." And prayerfully, that's what we are doing, that we are in the process of nurturing those who will follow along after us in the cause of the kingdom of God. Also at annual conference, I remember when we closed some churches. My heart was heavy as those names were read out of churches being closed, and some that I have known about and have had friends to pastor through the years. And as we would meet in the hallway, we would talk about when they served certain churches that were now being closed and what that meant to us and places that we had served. But also there were churches that were growing and prospering and thriving. One church in particular now has about 1,400 members in this town of Lexington, where at one time they only had a couple of hundred. And the minister was talking about how that he did not fully understand sometimes the word of God when it would come to him. And sometimes the word of God would come to him through a teacher, a lay person in the church. And one of those times, a lay person came to him and said, "Pastor, I think we should have another Bible school." And he looked at her with that faraway look in his eyes like, "What in the world do you mean?" And I would like to say how meaningful Bible school was here at Main Street last week, and the teachers and those in leadership, and they did such a phenomenal job. But I suspect if I would say, "Okay, good, now we're going to have another one this coming week in the afternoon," I would probably have one of those preachers, "What do you mean looks? Well, I know for myself, I'm rather tired. I'm looking forward to a week of non-Bible school, a time to rest and do some visitation and things of that nature. And so he was sort of the same nature. He said, well, let's talk about it. And you know how we do as Methodists? We say, let's take it to a committee. So he took it to a committee, and they started another Bible school. One in the morning, for those who are available in the morning, and one in the evening for those who have to work and can't bring their children. Now, they have three Bible schools. One in the morning, one after lunch, and one in the evening. And if my memory's correct, they have 800 kids in Vacation Bible School. I heard somebody moan. That's a lot of responsibility. And yet, as a pastor, sometimes I don't always know how God is moving. The Word of God sometimes comes from you. Sometimes it comes from me. It doesn't come from the lay people all the time, and it doesn't come from the clergy all the time. We are a family. We work together to understand what God's direction and God's leadership is all about here and now in Main Street. And so we endeavor to listen, to be directed by God. I remember a few years ago when I first was out on the flight line in the military, I saw a very unusual truck. It was what they call a Dodge six-pack. It meant that you could ride six people in a truck. Never heard of such. But they came to the conclusion that if they could haul more troops, then they could get the job done. So six people would hop in the truck, or ever how many was going down to the end of the runway and do what they call an end of the runway check. Or they could go down at the other end and do a post-flight check. But they could all ride together in one truck. Saturn was very disappointed in its automobile sales. It was trying to figure out what it could do. And so the engineers got together and they began to think about how that they could open up the subcompact that they had and make it more accessible. So the engineers got together with a roll of duct tape. And they marked off on the door, on the side of the car rather, where they thought maybe a door could be placed. And they took a saw and they cut out around that duct tape where they thought this door would go and discovered a whole new cargo section that had been concealed behind closed doors. I remember a few years ago, I was getting in one of my friend's trucks, and we had our golf clubs, and I was going to put it in the back, and I couldn't quite get the front seat. He said, there's a door there. I said, reach right there and open it up, and lo and behold, here was a third door on a pickup truck. I'd never seen such in my life. You could lay your stuff right in. I said, wow. Yesterday, I was riding past a Ford dealership and I looked on their lot and practically every vehicle I saw was a four-door pickup truck. Unusual. Not only that, some of them even have lids that go over the bed so that they can be raised up and down, and you can make long trips and stick your cargo in there and it doesn't get wet and you can take it off. All new ideas. When I think about the church, I've said for many years that every time we open new ministry, God brings in more families. As I think about Main Street and the doors that we have into our church, I wonder, maybe if we had a door over here and somebody would come with a masonry bit chainsaw and we could cut a hole here, would that mean more families? Are there places in our church that we need to unlock some doors? But not so much physically, but what about emotionally? What about the hurting children within our community? Are there hurting children, as Alice talked about earlier, that are not being reached by our church? Are there hurting wives and fathers that needs to know that there's a loving, caring, nurturing family at Main Street that would love to reach out to them and to pull them in and to make them feel? As I think about the Trinity, and I think about God as God is that instigating one. In the beginning, the scriptures read a while ago, that God created. That God was the one that so loved the world that He gave. It was God that was instigating this action throughout history. It was Jesus Christ that was the manifestation of that love. Christ came and He died. And so in the Lent and the Advent season, we've been affirming all this in the church history. And now we're in the season of Pentecost. That Spirit that brooded over the water. That Spirit that was there with Christ and enabled Him to do His wondrous miracles. That Spirit now that's with you and with me, with us. As we endeavor to be the manifestation of the body of Christ. Today we celebrate that day that separates us. Separates us from Judaism. Separates us from Muslims. I remember standing in a mosque one day and the imam said, "You believe in three gods." And so as I think of this triune God, I think about the mystery that God is. That wonderful mystery. God in three persons. And Jesus gives to us here our mission. He gives it to us. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's not easy to be a disciple. When I was in officers' candidate school, they had a young man there, and I will tell you, he was different than all the rest of us. They allowed us to run the 3-mile course that we had to run on the second day that I was there, for time, I might add. This guy ran every step of the way in combat boots. We had on tennis shoes. People laughed at him until he ran past them. Maybe 2% body fat, you know, one of those type guys. Kind of dark complexion. Good looking guy. I told him one day, I said, I'll pray for you as chaplain. I'm going to pray for you every day. And every day when his memory comes across my mind, I pray for God to bless him and his men. Because they go where no one else goes. The special ops. He made me aware that before we put the first troop on the ground, that they have already been on the ground and they've been into the community and they know where the targets are and they know what needs to be done. They come in and blend in, or they come in and they drop in on low-flying aircraft and drop into a hillside and it's do what they need to do and they're snatched back out. As I said, he was a different type of person. Some of my friends were Green Berets. When I was in Rotary over in Hartsville, there was one guy, and he was a Navy SEAL. We talked about his training, and we talked about what it meant to be a Navy SEAL. We talked about how many people just don't make it. And, of course, there's always the Marines. You got to speak about them. Especially in a church where there are some Marines, because I know I'll catch it later on. But my friend was talking about his training one day, and he said that he was in the water and he had fulfilled his task, and they didn't have on any breathing apparatus, and they had a task they had to fulfill. And he was on his way to the surface when his buddy tapped him and pointed at something, and he realized that he had not completed his mission. And he turned around and went back to the bottom. And he said, the next thing I remember, they were resuscitating me on the side of the pool. That was his commitment to his training. Jesus speaks here to us, and he says to us, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Has the last person to be won to Christ at Main Street United Methodist Church been fulfilled? Has the last mission for this church to be obligated to been accomplished? Are there people to still be won in Greenwood, South Carolina, within 100 feet of this church? A few weeks ago, on a Sunday, Lee came to me and said, there's a young man extremely distressed. He wants to talk to the pastor. I don't look forward to those types of meetings, especially on Sunday morning. So I said, okay. And so Lee and I sat down with him, and I was concerned that the young man might have been suicidal. He was 19 and homeless. My heart went out to him. And so I spent the next day trying to help locate him a job and taking him and getting him a room and trying to work out some details. I was not successful in every area of work. This little kid was an artist, and he drew a picture, and the picture's in my office, and he gave it to me. I came in on Tuesday morning, either Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't remember exactly which, and there was a note. And then he said, "Terry, there's a note from the young man." And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, now what? And the letter went something like this: "Pastor Terry, thank you so much for your help. I have found a job. I'm working this place," and he gave me the name and the number of the place. He says, "Thank your church, William." That's just one person that we were able to reach. How many more people are there out there for you and I to reach for the cause of the kingdom of God? How many people are we willing to tell the story? They are United Methodist Churches that next year at annual conference, the names will be read out and they will be closing. Is it because there are no people in the area where they are ministering? There are churches that will be thriving and will be growing, and their names will be read, and it will be exciting. I think the choice is ours. Which one do we want to be? And which one are we committed to being as disciples of Christ? Amen.